Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast this morning. Today is Monday, July 27th, 2020, and this has been an oppressively hot week here in Florissant. It seems like that summer is just flying by as usual. So the best thing we can do to cope with everything is just take one big deep breath. This virus will pass. We will be back to normal very soon, okay? I want to really thank you for joining me this morning. I love to talk about Iran. I love to talk about Iranians and their struggle for human rights and freedom. This morning, I have a very special guest on the broadcast. Her name is Mona Elisha. Mona Elisha is an Iranian American. She lives right here in Georgia. And she is going to share with us this morning the story a little bit about herself and also about her group that she's the administrator of, Georgia Persians. Good morning, Mona, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert.
Good morning. Good Monday morning, Randy. It is wonderful to be in your radio program.
Hey, thanks for taking out the time to be with me this morning. I've been looking forward to this. And I want you to just take your one little big deep breath. Everything is fine. Never done this before. It's going to go smooth. It'll be fine, okay? Mona, as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, I love to talk about Iran. And I love to talk about Iranians and their human rights and their struggle for freedom. You are an Iranian American, and you live right here in the United States, right on the East Coast there, Atlanta, Georgia, or in the area of Georgia, I should say. But I want to just talk to you this morning about your journey to becoming an American citizen. So if you could, just briefly take a couple of minutes and share with us a little bit about your background and how you came here, Mona.
Sure, Randy. Well, I consider myself, a patriotic Iranian-American woman. I born in city of Shiraz, the ancient city of love and literature. I left my country back in 1993. It's about like 14 years after Islamic Revolution in Iran. I was about 9 years old. I was attending elementary school. And I remember the beautiful brown, white color shirt and a short skirt uniform that I had during Shah in my elementary school. Then I suddenly witnessed the change of tear gas, riots, broken buildings, and broken statues, fires, sort of what we're seeing and experiencing in America now. After the revolution, when I was in middle school, it reminds me the gray color hijab uniform I had it reminds me the experience of Iraq war. It reminds me the Islamic program on TV, the fearing of guidance patrol for Islamic Force hijab, and gradually bring me to the sadness that sadness culture of Islam replacing the beautiful Persian culture. And like, I remember the celebration light we had in the street I've been living called Aram Garden. We had all those lights. I feel like they're not there. It's just all sadness stories. Then I grew to my high school. I was in my teenage, sort of the age of my daughter now, that I was depressed in an Islamic society. I become more depressed. I felt like it really affected my education. After high school, I was hoping to get into the teacher program or hopefully college, but since I was Jewish, it wasn't a choice for me. So after a couple of years of the high school graduation, I was happily was able to go to Austria, so I was fortunate to become a refugee to get into this dreamland of America. Now I am in Georgia. Since then, I got my citizenship in year 2000, and that's my story.
That is amazing, Mona. I have so many friends that have shared with me kind of a similar story of the hopelessness of living in Iran and then the joy of when they are finally accepted by a host country and they're able to experience and breathe freedom again. And we're so glad, all of us are very thankful that your journey was successful. You mentioned a couple of things there that the Islamic Revolution changed. It changed so many things, but it also changed Persian history. It was replaced with Islamic history. And so I want to talk a little bit about with what you do right now. You are the administrator of a group there in Georgia called Georgia Persians. And I think that one of the goals of that group is to fight for the Persian history that once again Iranians can relearn Persian history and stand up for their history. And so why don't you take a little time this morning and share with us about your group, Georgia Persians. It's online through Facebook, and share with us what the group is all about, why you created it, what is the goal of the group, a little bit of the philosophy of the group.
Sure. Well, let me tell you about, like, when I started the Georgia Persian, it was, like, created 12 years ago. At that time, my goal was to bring together all true Persians in the state of Georgia. The idea was to restore our culture, Persian celebration. And through these 12 years, you see, like, you going to the Georgia Persian is all about Persian's holiday celebration and the nature celebration, I would just say, nature and mythological heroes of Persia. And you know, the seasonal celebration with Persian was based on solar system. Because after Islam in Iran, we had a lunar calendar. So the months are not related to the solar cycle. So you would not correspond the season together. So like the festivals move all the time. For example, Ramadan can be in summer, winter, or any other season. But with Persian celebration, it's seasonal. Like you already know Nowruz, the new day, the Persian New Year. That's the start with the spring. We have the Yalda, the longest night of the year. That is the winter celebration. And then we also have the autumn festival called Mehrigan and Tiragan, which is the summer festival.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah. So then gradually, I found that Georgia person can be the voice inside Iran, what is happening in Iran every day. So as a responsible citizen of a free land of America, we always felt in Georgia person the pain and suffering of our people in Iran. We tried to be their actual voice, their voice that desperately shouting for that freedom that we have in here.
Mm. This is very good that you gathered together as a group. All of you are American citizens, but you have not forgotten your people in Iran. And you've told me many times, Mona, that that is your purpose in life, to be the voice of Iranian people. I want to ask you a little bit about your feelings and your emotions as you witness what's going on in your homeland. Just recently, last November, there was more than 1,500 peaceful protesters murdered by this government. And just recently, through the miracle of social media, all of us could get together and say no to the execution of three Iranians that were arrested during the protest. So as you look at what's happening with your people, your friends that still live in Iran, tell me how you feel about all of this and how this is so important to you as the head of this group, Georgia Persians.
Yeah, well, what I've been trying to do is just to bring the hope back into our group. Most of us is like hopeless and we just leave it alone and we say, well, we already know. And every day there's an execution, every day there's something. It's like Iran is just destroying every day. Three young men, age 25, like Amir Hossein Mouradi, Saeed Temjidi, and Mohammad Rajabi, these three, they're not George Floyd. They're not in media. They're not talking about them, right? So they were peacefully protesting in Iran for better life and the very basic right. And I'm sure the voice that we put on, Facebook, social media, Twitter, and all that, and especially Trump tweet, that mm-hmm. had a great effect. It had a great effect. So Islamic regime of Iran will be like under pressure by halting the execution of these three. So I think our voice is going to be heard, and what we do together is really going to be effective, and I have a hope for that.
You mentioned the Trump tweet, and I know that you are a very strong supporter of President Trump. President Trump is a much different president than President Obama. And it was, as we look back at what Obama accomplished with the nuclear deal, in essence, he gave away millions and billions of dollars to the mullahs and made it more difficult for Iranians. So you mentioned Trump tweeted in support of these three to not be executed. He's become a voice for the Iranian people, as just like you. What are your feelings about President Trump?
I feel so positive that he's been always with people of Iran, and he was the voice of us. And I feel like shame that our own Iranian people, they have no talk. As I told you, like about George Floyd, there's so many Iranians in social media talking about him, but you never see anything about what's happening in Iran, in their own country. And mm-hmm. that is sad. That is really sad. So I really thankful of Trump that have that voice for us, and then it would help us to be that voice. Obama, I remember, because we've been protesting in front of CNN during Obama, and I remember we were shouting exactly the voice of people in Iran, because we never came with our own, like, judgment. It was the voice of people in Iran. And we said, Obama, are you with us or with them? That's what they were chanting in Iran. So since then, we've been always the voice of people in Iran. People in Iran, they want the regime change, obviously. And people in Iran, they're not walking on the American flag. We watch that. They love America. People of Iran, they love people of America. They love America. They love Trump. So this is what American people need to understand. We're not a terrorist people. We are just under this dictatorship regime oppressed, and we need help. And then we're so desperate for that freedom, and we have so much womb that we can't even, you know, help each other. And then what I see now happening in America, and just putting like a animosity between black and white, this is what they've done to us too. So you see, like, even, yeah, even after these 40 years, we still fight with each other. We don't work together. And that is sad.
Mm. This is an important observation you've made, and you're comparing this 40 years in Iran and here in America, this fighting, this chaos, this what is happening is so violent, and it troubles you, because you shared with us, you remember when you were 9 years old, and you were out on the streets, and the revolution was beginning, and there was tear gas and violence. What is your message to the people of America, as an Iranian-American citizen? What is your message to America when you see what's happening here, the violence and the chaos, the breaking down of statues? What do you have to say to Americans?
What I can say, just speak up and don't allow that freedom to be taken away from you. Just understand the principle in America that you have and stay with them. Don't think like just for simple change you would need to do a revolution, or you need to destroy everything to get to what you need. These things come gradually. America has it all. America needs to be with law and order that it is. So don't let that to lose, you know. It is sad, because if we look at like different places in the world, everyone has a story to say about how they lost that their freedom. So freedom is not come easily to you. We've been there 41 years and we're still crying for that freedom. We know the value of freedom.
I think that's a very powerful thing, Mona. What you just said is that we need to value our freedom, because you saw how easily, as a young child, how easily the freedom in Iran completely slipped away. And it wasn't overnight. It was gradual. But very soon you went from a secular monarchy to a dictatorship. And it can happen even here. And I think what I hear you say is that we need to value and fight for our freedom, because it can go away. I wanted to ask you about some of the activities of Georgia Persian. You mentioned about celebrating Nowruz and Yalta. Do you do speaking engagements? Do you do any kind of conferences?
Well, with our active members who have interest in the research about Persian history and philosophy, we've been holding several meetup groups. We're going to research deeply each month based on the important holidays such as Sedeh, Çarşembe Suri, Nowruz, Tertin Beder, Sepender Mezgan, Tiragan, Mehrigan, Cyrus Day, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking to add education video maybe that is created from our people in Georgia. So we're welcoming anyone who's interested in the research and doing that with us and just learning about our history as we go, we chat. And with the busy schedule of people in this pandemic, I don't really see a face-to-face or a large gathering will be appropriate. But we still, just like anyone else, we can do this online. We can be more active in Georgia Persian. We can put our thinking, our thoughts, and then together we can bring our thought together and make a better world. I really believe in that. It's not just one individual doing all the work. It's just all of us together. We should be a team. We should learn how to be a team.
That's really exciting. I'm so glad you have this group and you are working together to teach, again, the value of Persian history, of Persian culture, and celebrating your identity. Islam has tried to take that identity away, but you are fighting to restore this Iranian culture identity, and I'm so happy you have this group. It's on Facebook. Can anyone become a member?
Yeah, everyone can be a member. So actually, you don't have to actually believe in Trump. Everyone can be a member. Yeah, the rules
right.
are written over there, but it's just to be respectful. And we need the good word, good thought, good deed. If we all can follow that, yes, we can be a Georgia Persian member.
Well, I want to thank you for the vision you have with your group. I want to thank you for being the voice of the Iranian people. And I want to thank you for joining me this morning on the Cross in the Desert, Mona. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to working with you and Georgia Persians. And I hope that you'll come on again and let us know what's happening with your group. Okay?
Sure. Thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Randy.
God bless you, Mona. Thank you for being a guest this morning on The Cross in the Desert. That is my good friend, Mona, and she is very dedicated to being a voice for the Iranian people, for the vision of her group, and I'm so glad to be her friend. We are working together to make a difference in Iran, to be the voice of the Iranian people together. So God bless you, Mona. Thank you for being my guest. I want to take a quick song break. This is the music of Big Daddy Weave and Lion and the Lamb. Be right back in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Lord, you can stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah, roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain.
Great worship music from Big Daddy Weave, the Lion and the Lamb on the Cross in the Desert. One of the things that my guest Mona mentioned was the value of Persian history and how important it is that Iranians reconnect with that history. And one of the things I want to share with you this morning is something maybe that you are not aware of. Not everyone that listens to this program is from Iran. There's a lot of Americans and other people from other cultures. But I wanted you to learn a little bit about Iranian history this morning on the Cross in the Desert. I want to talk to you about a very famous object with great archaeological and historical value, and I'm speaking of the Cyrus Cylinder. So let's talk about the Cyrus Cylinder this morning. Iranians love the study of Persian history. They long to return to the glory days before the invasion of Arabs in the 7th century and the domination of Islam. One of the heroes of the glory days was Apronik. She was a courageous female commander of the Persian army who bravely fought against the Arabs. This was the glory days when women were treated as equals and given true dignity and known examples of those glory days is the artifact known as the Cyrus Cylinder. The Cyrus Cylinder is a scroll-like cylinder with a famous inscription written on it by the hand of Cyrus the Great. Cyrus was the great king of Babylon in the 6th century who ruled over his subjects with fairness and decency. Inscribed on the famous cylinder by Cyrus are those foundational principles of justice, liberty, and freedom. This cylinder, as I mentioned, it's regarded as one of the first declaration of human rights. Cyrus the Great believed in ruling with these principles and granted freedom of opinion and basic human rights to his subjects. So the heritage of Cyrus really was a heritage of human understanding, tolerance, compassion, freedom. Now, in the pre-Iranian government of 1979, the Shah of Iran declared that this cylinder was indeed the first charter of human rights. A replica of the cylinder is housed on the second floor of the United Nations building in New York. Now, what we know about this cylinder, as I've mentioned, is just fascinating. Do you know, when you think about the foundations of Persian history and the Cyrus cylinder, today when we look at Iran, it's nothing like that at all. In fact, the president, the current president, Rouhani, could learn a lot. He could learn valuable lessons from this famous artifact. Before the domination of Islam, Iran enjoyed a heritage of real freedom and tolerance. But the Iranian government no longer reflects this heritage. They have replaced freedom with tolerance. They've replaced freedom and tolerance with bondage and tyranny. The freedom to think and believe in Iran really is non-existent. Every journalist, blogger, protester, and politician, if you will, is threatened with either death or imprisonment if they dare disagree with government policy. So today, the Cyrus Cylinder stands as a rebuke to the present government of Iran and also a reminder of the way God intended his people to be treated. Our human rights as human beings come directly as a gift from God. The Declaration of Independence, which is another ancient artifact, if you will, echoes the same theme as the cylinder that, quote, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Long ago, during the glory days of ancient Persia, Cyrus got it right. He left mankind with an artifact that should be the foundational guide of every government. The Iranian government should not ignore their own history. They do so at their own peril. A fascinating study is the study of the Cyrus Cylinder. And I want to take us back a few years to when the people of Los Angeles had a special celebration about this Cyrus Cylinder. Let's listen.
We are America, a nation founded on the universal humanitarian truths of individual freedom, multicultural coexistence, and respect for diversity. These are the values that made us a beacon of light amongst all other nations. We are the most diverse nation on earth, and that's something worth celebrating. Today, maybe more than ever, we need another reminder of the noble ideals upon which our great nation was built.
3 years ago, a group of us, mostly Iranian Americans, got together with the idea of building a monument to freedom and inclusiveness. These are the universal human rights that the founding fathers had enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. Our vision was to gift this to the city of Los Angeles, our new home, as a symbol of our gratitude for these shared ideals.
Designed by world-renowned artist Cecil Balmont, the Freedom Sculpture evokes the Cyrus Cylinder from ancient Persia. Widely recognized as the first declaration of these same human rights, a copy of which also sits in the United Nations as a permanent reminder that it was Cyrus, the great Persian king, who granted freedom and individualism to all he ruled over 2,500 years ago.
Well, this project has been a long time in the making. It took us years to gather the initial support, to commission the design, to finalize the location, and to get city approval to begin construction of the sculpture.
The sculpture measures 20 feet long by 15 feet high, made of high-polished stainless steel. The sculpture was designed to be enjoyed by both pedestrians and the over 100,000 vehicles that drive by that location on a daily basis.
Today, we're at the cusp of making this dream a reality. But we feel that such an iconic symbol of love and inclusiveness should be supported by as many different kinds of people as possible so it can belong to every one of us.
And what better place to build the freedom sculpture for all humanity than right here in Los Angeles, one of the most culturally diverse cities in the world. In Los Angeles, the freedom sculpture will be like the Statue of Liberty for the West Coast.
And like a modern-day Statue of Liberty, our goal is to get hundreds of thousands of Americans, people of all cultures, faiths, backgrounds, and beliefs, to support the creation of this monumental gift. So, together, we make a united and lasting statement for the ages.
We're now asking people to join us, to become a part of this project, and to add their name to Freedom Sculpture's permanent legacy.
What a wonderful monument that is, the Freedom Sculpture. That's from a few years ago, but I remember how the Iranian community in Los Angeles turned out to support this. And again, this is just one of the most important items of Persian history is the Cyrus Cylinder. And all of us can learn so many things from this great historical monument. And as I was reading to you about the history of the Cyrus Cylinder and the tolerance and the freedom, the basic human rights that came from King Cyrus, every October 29th, there's a celebration in Iran. The Iranians run to the tomb of Cyrus and celebrate freedom and democracy. And even though they don't possess those gifts in Iran right now, they recognize where that freedom and tolerance and human basic human rights comes from. They know it. Their history is trying to be erased by the Islamic Republic, but there are those Iranians living in Iran that refuse to forget their history. And so it is as the Iranian community in Los Angeles unveiled this statue, this monument. It's a reminder to those Iranians that live here that our freedom is a gift that we cannot take for granted. And as you look around at the culture right now, you don't see a lot of the tolerance and the basic human rights that you should see in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Mona said it best when she looks at what she sees around her, the violence, the constant violence in upheaval, the Marxist kind of Antifa violence that's going on in Portland and in other cities like Chicago, all over the United States. What is happening to our culture? Mona is saying, I remember very well many years ago, over 41 years ago, when this happened to me. They burned buildings, they tore down statues, fundamentally transformed my culture. The Shah had to leave and go into exile. And what Mona was saying in our interview is, I see so much of the same thing happening right here in the country that I came to, the country that I love, the country that has freedom that every Iranian loves and is wanting to share and wanting to enjoy, and it troubles her, and it should. And she has a message for us today. And as we are talking about the Cyrus Cylinder and what that represents, we have to remember how valuable freedom really is and how we cannot take that for granted. So the forces of evil, the Marxist forces, the anti-democratic forces, those lawless people, those anarchists that are trying to change our country, we have got to stop. We have got to stand up against. We have got to make a voice. We have got to make noise. We have got to stand up and say, this is my country, founded on Christian godly principles from our founding fathers. This is the land of the free, the home of the brave, and I will not allow these evil forces to change this country from democracy to socialism. And what's the next step? Well, you know what it is: communism, dictatorship. What do you want to do about that? Do you stay silent in fear, or do you stand up with courage and say, enough? Well, I can say this much. I know my friend Mona is not going to be silent, and neither am I. We are going to stand up against these forces. Shout Freedom. That's the title of my newest book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. I want to take just a minute to share with you. It's been out for a little over a month right now. I'm really, really excited to say that it's doing well. It's receiving a lot of sales on Amazon. I'm very, very thankful for that, among other books. This book, Shout Freedom, is the story of my Iranian friends. The first story in the book is about President Trump being a voice for the Iranian people, and how on the 40th anniversary, just a year ago, the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, Trump stood up for the Iranian people and tweeted, 40 years of corruption, 40 years of repression, 40 years of terror. The regime in Iran has produced only 40 years of failure. The long-suffering Iranian people deserve a much brighter future. That's what Trump tweeted when they had the 40th anniversary celebration of the Islamic Revolution. He tweeted in support of the Iranian people. It's been 40 years, corruption, repression, terror. he has been a constant, consistent voice for the Iranian people. So his story is in the new book, Shout Freedom. The first story in the book is a tremendously sad story. It's the story of a young Iranian girl that it just breaks my heart to even talk about, Sahar Khodayari. All she wanted to do was attend her first soccer match. Now, women in Iran are banned from going to see a football game, as they call it there. They're not allowed into the stadium. Only men, no women. And so what Sahar had to do is dress up like a man to go to see the thrill of her life, her first football game. And unfortunately, she was recognized, caught, apprehended, and arrested. That's what happens when women in Iran try to be normal. They're arrested. They're repressed. She found out later that she had a serious case. The judge had postponed the hearing, but the lady at the court told her, Sahar, you're probably going to spend 6 months, maybe even years, in jail for what you did, trying to sneak into a soccer game, not wearing your hijab, dressed up like a man. When Sahar heard this, her whole world just crumbled before her. And the only way she could respond is take her life. And she did just that. Out on a busy street in Tehran, she doused herself with gasoline and set herself on fire as an example of, I cannot live here as a woman in Iran. And if I cannot live here as a woman in Iran, I'd rather die. And there was worldwide recognition to what Sahar did. The Iranian soccer team spoke out in her behalf. Other soccer players from around the world spoke out in her behalf, saying how wrong it was for the way women are treated in Iran. And it was just a few weeks after that that the Iranian government, realizing that this worldwide attention to Sahar's act was dangerous, you know what they did? They granted about 3,000 Iranian women tickets to see the game. Yes, that was a nice gesture, but it was just image building because they never changed the law. The law is still the same. If you're a woman, you can't come in. But they caved a little bit to pressure. And in my book, I talk about that, Shout Freedom. That's one of the stories in the book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. You can purchase that book up on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. I want to finish the broadcast today talking to you about a subject that Mona brought up, and I want to amplify on that. And that is, when you think of Iranian people, what do you think about? And a few years ago, I wrote a blog called We Are Not Your Enemy, Putting a Face on Real Iranians. Arezou, she's a nurse, and she lived in Isfahan. She wrote a little piece on this article, which is what I'm going to quote from. When you think about Iran, what are the first images, though, that come to your mind? You see images of hostile crowds holding up Death to America signs, terrorists who are hell-bent on the destruction of Israel, Western nation. Isn't that who Iranians are? Well, most of our conception and images of Iran are connected with the ongoing media coverage of what's going on between Iran and Israel and all of their other people. But is that who Iran really is? I have a friend. Her name is Arezou Husseini. She's a 32-year-old nurse living in the city of Isfahan, or she was. I think she migrated to another city. And she laments the facts that most Americans don't know much of anything about the real Iran. And I had a conversation with Arezou. I told her what I'm doing with the Blog Talk Radio and how I like to talk about freedom and human rights of all my Iranian friends. And her response was, I want to write something for your program. I want to tell you about Iranians, that we are people that love America. We are not terrorists. And so she wrote something like this. She says, I feel bad when I see that most Americans don't know about the real Iran. They don't even know where Iran is located. They don't even know that Iranians are the old Persians. I'm not talking for my government. I am speaking, Arezou says, for my people. She says, we love you, Americans. We love all of the people living on this planet. We are not your enemy. We are not terrorists. We are the people who love humanity and fight for freedom. We are not Arabs. We have our own history. We are the great children of Cyrus who freed the slaves more than 2,500 years ago and wrote the first charter of human rights for the nations of the world. If you like poetry, Iran will be the best choice for you. Here is the land of two great poets, Hafez, Kazam. If you like history, Iran will be exciting for you. You can visit places that have existed for more than 7,000 years. I am sure that you will love Iranians, Arezou writes. We are a people of great honesty and hospitality. Well, let me tell you what, Arezou's short little story touches me really deeply. She wants to put a face on who Iranians really are and destroy the common stereotypes that are created by the media. And so as you hear her story, do you have a different viewpoint of who the real Iranian people are? I hope that just by listening to what she had to say, that you're convinced now that Iranians are not terrorists. They're not our enemy. If anything, they are our friends, and they love our country. When you see these protesters carrying signs, when you saw all of these people gather together for the funeral of Soleimani, you have to understand something about the way the government displays this. They are paid, most of them, to hold up the Death to America signs. These are government wannabes, if you will. They are paid by the government, and the media falls for this trick all the time. And those that attended the funeral of Soleimani were forced to. They were forced to. They were told either you do it or you lose your benefits or you go to jail or you could die. And so a lot of the Iranian people that the media focuses in on are paid by the government, are forced to be part of this media event. When you meet Iranian people, and I have, they are the complete opposite of the image portrayed by the media. They are loving people. They're very hospitable people. You know, they have Nowruz. They go from house to house celebrating the Persian New Year with food and fun and music. That's who they are. And they love poetry. Rumi, Hafez, and others. They're great musicians. I have a story in the new book, Shout Freedom, about Mehdi Rajabian. He plays the sitar. It's an ancient instrument. It's a wonderful instrument. And he put together an album called Middle Eastern. It featured other musicians from other countries, and the theme of the album, Middle Eastern, was peace and human rights. It's been recognized as one of the best musical contributions of 2019. Mehdi has won awards. Iranians are poets and musicians. They're wonderful people. I know. Mona's my friend. We've talked extensively. A wonderful, wonderful human being that Mona is. And so I can tell you from experience, I don't have to have someone write something for me and I read it. I can tell you from experience who the Iranian people are. I have written stories about them. One of my friends, Maral, I met her online and we talked and prayed together on Skype. I remember the day that Maral left Iran with a refugee group to travel to Germany to look for hope and freedom. I remember she shared with me her entire journey, her struggles. It became a book, Finding Hope and Freedom, Maral's Journey to Freedom, or Finding Hope in a Future, Maral's Journey to Freedom. And so I know the Iranian people. I know a lot of them. And so it's my job to put a face on them. And in my new book, Shout Freedom, I do just that. The story in one of my stories in the book is about my friend Mary Mohammadi, a young Christian girl. She converted from Islam to Christianity in 2017, and she spent 6 months in Evin prison because she chose her own religion. And you can't do that in Iran. You're not allowed to do that. And since then, she was a participant in the rally, the protest rally in January of this year, when the Iranian government shot down the Ukrainian airliner. Many Iranians went to Freedom Square and denounced what this government had done. Mary was one of them, and she got arrested. She was beaten, and she was put in Korchak prison. But thankfully, she was set free right at the beginning of the coronavirus in Iran. And she is out, I guess you would say, on bail for a year. And then she has to serve 3 months in prison and be lashed. It's sad that this is how women and Christians are treated in Iran. I know Iranians. I've known them for many years. And so I can completely agree with Arzu in her article. We are not your enemy. That is a fact. There are many of them here. I don't know how many, but there are thousands upon thousands of Iranian Americans like Mona who came here for freedom, to see their dreams fulfilled. But one thing you can know for sure about these people, they have not forgotten their friends and family in Iran. They didn't just come here to realize the great American dream and have freedom, came here to educate us and to be one of us and to say, let's join together and let's speak for the people of Iran that they may have freedom one day just like you do, America. Is that possible? Yes, it is. I spend so much time speaking out and praying for them. And in just about a month or so, when I retire from my full-time job, I'm going to have so much more time to work with Iranians, to be their voice. I cannot wait. I'm going to retire from my job, but one thing I'm not retiring from is being their friend, being their voice. And that's what today has been all about. You heard from Mona. You heard about the Cyrus Cylinder. You've learned about what Iranians think of Americans, and they are not our enemy. They're really our friends. It is such a privilege to work with them, to interact with them, to fight with them, to laugh with them, to cry with them. That's what my books are all about. And in Shout Freedom, at the very end of the book, I quote a special poem from a martyr. His name is Akbar Mohammadi. He's the brother of my friend Nazrin Mohammadi. He was part of the student uprising in 1999 when the students rose up above all of the things going on in Iran and they rallied at the universities. He was imprisoned and eventually killed in prison. Before his death, Akbar Mohammadi composed this beautiful little poem as he sat in his prison cell in Evin prison, thinking about the future and trying to have hope in the midst of imprisonment. This is what Akbar Mohammadi wrote. He says, "The light of injustice will not burn forever. If it burns one night, its fire will be extinguished tomorrow. How long will sorrow be the joy of my existence? Much sin has been committed in your name, O freedom. On the threshold of execution, gallows, torture rack, and prison, they drank wine and raised their glasses in your name, O freedom. The dark nights are over, my friend, and we will see the dawn when the sun rises on the edge of freedom." Akbar says, there's coming a day, a dawn, the light of injustice will not forever. These are the same words of Atna Daomi. She writes letters from prison, standing up for the people of Iran and criticizing the government. And every time she writes a letter, they continue to punish her. But she says also, this freedom is coming one day. This injustice is not forever. And it's true. My hope is in the God of the universe, who says that he will bring freedom and democracy one day to the Iranian people. I spend time praying and asking him to bring hope and freedom to the people of Iran. And I know, I am convinced that he's going to do that. Because he is in control of all nations. He is in control of all events that go on. Our God is the sovereign God of the universe. One day, Akbar's dream for freedom will be realized. He said right before his execution, "The dark nights are over, my friend." He saw hope. He saw the horizon. He saw the sunrise. One day, there will be no more injustice when the sun rises on the edge of freedom. Akbar is exactly right. He's completely in harmony with everything that I say and talk about in my books for my Iranian friends. And I want to read to you in our last minute from this beautiful little psalm in the Bible that I pray for my Iranian friends all day. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. It's promise. God says, I will rescue the poor. I hear their cries. I'm going to help the oppressed. There's no one to defend them. I will defend them. I feel their pain and their neediness. I promise I will rescue them. Why? Because your lives, Iranians, are precious to God. Very, very precious to him. He hears your cries. He feels your pain. So I want to say thank you once again to my good friend Mona with Georgia Persians. You can visit her group online on Facebook. Just type in the name Georgia Persians and check out her page and become one of them. And they look forward to anyone, and they would love for you to be a member. I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life and joining me on the broadcast. I will see you again this Thursday on The Cross in the Desert. God bless you. Everyone have a great week and stay safe.